Good afternoon. May the Lord give you his peace. This is Father Stosh Daly on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio with your daily message of hope. Today I'm joined by Sister Maria Fatima from the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist. Welcome,
Hello.
Sister.
Thank you, Father. Great to be here.
On this day devoted to the Lord Jesus in the Holy Eucharist, we give our thoughts, our intentions, all of the people for whom we have promised to pray in times past, we give them to the Lord who dwells among us in the Most Holy Eucharist, the Blessed Sacrament. Remember, Thursday is the day of the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, the First Mass. Sister, what comes to your mind when you think of every week there's a day set aside for the Holy Eucharist? Anything come to mind?
I just think it's one of those things that's so beautiful because it's the Eucharist seems to be something that a lot of us can take for granted.
Totally.
And
yeah.
to have a day every week that is meant to call our minds back to the great gift that it is, mm-hmm. and to just be able to contemplate the reality of Jesus leaving his body, blood, soul, and divinity so that we can be one with him in
Absolutely.
The Mass each and every day. I think it's such a beautiful gift from the church. You know, you think of the church as our mother and she knows what we need. She knows that we need all of those reminders mm-hmm. day in and day out and week after week.
You know, it's impressive because we have the Mass offered every day, but we don't necessarily have to have our Lord reserved in the tabernacle all day, every day. But we do,
right.
which gives us the opportunity to not only attend Holy Mass, but also to visit him or to pass by the church and acknowledge his presence. If you have the privilege of being near an adoration chapel, you have the opportunity to go and make a holy hour, a holy half hour. I wouldn't go much less than that.
you could
put a holy quarter of an hour. Right. Yeah. I mean, at that point, just commit to a longer stay. Now, you belong to the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist. That's the congregation of sisters to which you are a member. So Thursday, in a very real way, is your day. Day of the Eucharist, Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist. What is so special, would you say, that your congregation offers the church and the world with regard to, you know, how you satisfy your apostolate in teaching while also remaining totally devoted to our Lord Jesus in the Holy Eucharist?
Well, I think one of the most beautiful things about the way in which our community lives our charism of love for Mary and devotion to the Eucharist is we have a daily Eucharistic Holy Hour. So the very first thing that we do every morning is spend an hour in Eucharistic adoration as a community. And that's really what feeds us in our apostolate. I remember from the very first weeks that I entered religious life, hearing mother say, you have to be formed in the sanctuary, because if you're not bringing Jesus, you're bringing yourself, and that's just
true.
Pathetic.
Yeah, it's true.
So it's such a beautiful gift, and I know the days when maybe we have the Holy Hour in the afternoon or whatever, for whatever reason, I always feel it throughout the day. There's always something missing.
Now, what grades of students do you teach?
I teach 6th, 7th, and 8th graders.
So junior high.
So I have middle schoolers.
Sure.
I teach religion.
So what would you say is maybe the greatest challenge in communicating the true presence of Jesus in the Eucharist to that age group?
Oh, gosh. I would have to say when I'm dealing with my students, it's so, actually, I have to say their love for Jesus in the Eucharist is beautiful. I bring them to the Adoration Chapel every week for one class period, and it's beautiful to see their ability to enter into prayer and to read the scriptures and to contemplate that. But what's interesting is trying to help them to then take that devotion that they have in adoration to Mass.
Sure.
And it's an interesting dynamic, because you would think that the devotion would flow from the Mass to the Eucharist.
Sure.
But for some reason, the way in which they encounter Jesus in adoration, they actually sometimes, it seems, prefer that to...
Do you think it's the silence?
I think a lot of it has to do with the silence. I think a lot of it, too, just has to do with the fact that we need to teach our children what the Mass is.
Sure, yeah.
We have to help them understand that when we're at Mass, we're at Calvary.
Yeah.
And there's nothing boring about that.
Right, totally, yeah.
And I think, too, in a certain way, especially dealing with middle schoolers, with high schoolers, attending Mass and participating in Mass can be a particular challenge, especially with their peers, and trying to help them to recognize that it can be a really beautiful opportunity to give a gift of self, even if, you know, singing is a little bit uncomfortable for you at times.
And the voice is changing.
Yes.
Right. I've been there, done that. Yeah. I would not say I survived, but I got through it.
But also too, they just need that when they go to Jesus, they know that he loves them.
Yeah.
And that's an opportunity for them to be reunited in that way and be made more confident in that love that he has for them.
Absolutely. Now, St. John Paul II is deeply admired, revered, and venerated in and among the Dominican Sisters of Mary by the Eucharist. And of course, John Paul II had this deep, burning, passionate zeal for young people, which is, I would say, in total honesty, as a compliment, beautifully exhibited by your sisters, not only here in Columbus Diocese at St. Michael's, but also in all of the schools where your sisters are missioned and all of your assignments. I mean, how much would you say that your sisters are shaped and formed by the example of John Paul II, who was, you know, arguably in our own modern era, you know, the Pope of the Eucharist?
Absolutely. I would say very much so, from the very fact that the document Vita Consecrata, which he wrote and was issued in 1996, is so foundational to the formation of our community.
Because your community was started the next year, 97, right?
Yeah. And it was that document that really enlivened and awakened the movement of the Holy Spirit for the community to be founded. So I would say that in and of itself is what connects us very much to John Paul II, but also just recognizing, again, his love for the Eucharist, which is very, again, connected to our community and the way in which we live our devotion and our charism, always streaming from the Eucharist. You know, you hear all of those stories about St. John Paul II, where anytime they were looking for him, he was probably in the chapel.
In the chapel, it's true. You know,
and always just drawing that focus from him. And
what's your favorite personal memory of John Paul II? I know, too many to choose.
I'm a little bit biased because being Sister Maria Fatima and May 13th being my birthday, that was the date of his assassination. And he famously said that one hand shot the bullet and the other guided it. And the other was Our Lady, specifically Our Lady of Fatima.
Right.
So I think that connection there is also something for me personally that I have.
And that's a beautiful custom in your congregation, because when the women enter the order, they receive a new name. Now, at what point in formation do they receive that new name?
After the first year. So the first year of our formation is called postulancy, and we live the life for that time and take classes and enter into the prayer of the community. And
learn how to do laundry.
All of that. Yes. Learn how to make your bed. Turn off the world, right? And then at the end of that year, when we receive the Holy Habit, we also receive our religious name.
Beautiful. And how did you end up with the name Sister Maria Fatima?
Our Lady chose me, very much chose me. I was not thinking Mary at all, to have her at all in my name when I first entered. But during the first semester that I was in the community, as I was praying, Our Lady really just kept jumping out at me. And as I look back now, I can see that she's the one who had chosen me all along.
Sure.
I'm Portuguese by heritage, and that was a very big part of my growing up and my family life. And my grandparents loved Our Lady of Fatima. We would go to their house every Sunday after Mass, and if we wanted to watch TV, we had three options. Or two options, sorry. We could watch The Day the Sun Danced or The Miracle of Our Lady of Fatima.
Both are good options.
And when, you know, when Nana got upset with Mary, she would turn the statue around and all of that good good Portuguese piety. But one of the things that I realized is Our Lady really took care of my family very much through my growing up years. We had very little suffering. And when I entered, my older sister and I actually entered two different communities on the same day. And Our Lady asked that of our family in a particular way. Yeah. It was a big suffering for
sure.
them. So when I received my name, Sister Maria Fatima, it was in a way a consolation for them,
yeah.
But also just an opportunity for them to recognize the blessings that she had obtained for us over the years. And my sister's name is Sister Mary Carolyn after John Paul II. So we have that sure. nice little connection too. I like to tell her that my patron saved her patron's life.
And what community did your sister, your blood sister, enter into?
She is with the Sisters of St. Francis of the Martyr St. George.
Very well.
Their mother house is in Alton, Illinois.
Very well. So one daughter went to the Dominicans and one daughter went to the Franciscans.
Yes. As you can imagine, yes. we have some little rivalries.
That'd be a great volleyball match right there at a family reunion. If home visits ever work out at the same time.
Yes.
Very nice. You know, we have people joining us in this Message of Hope on St. Gabriel Radio, and literally they're coming from all different walks of life and all different, maybe even places. You know, some are in their car, some are at their home, some are still at work. We're drawing to the close of Thursday, heading into the evening. You know, people might just be looking for that one word or that one message of hope. What comes to your mind? What's on your heart that you wish to share with our listeners?
You are loved uniquely, mm-hmm. individually, personally, and infinitely. And Jesus is waiting for you in the tabernacle.
The Lord dwells among us, and he's waiting for us to come and visit. May we heed his words and spend some time with him this day, if only in prayer. May the Lord give you his peace.